I want you to try something for me. Close your eyes for just a second.
Oh boy.
No, seriously, do it. It's Tuesday afternoon. You are in a meeting that definitely could have been an email, or maybe you're just staring at a spreadsheet that's starting to completely blur.
I know that feeling well.
Right. Now, delete that image. Replace it with this. You are sitting on a wide teak veranda. The air is warm, not humid, just that perfect tropical blanket. You've got a cold drink in your hand. Maybe a fresh coconut, maybe a gin and tonic, and you are looking out at water. So turquoise. It looks like someone messed with the saturation settings on your TV.
That paints quite the picture.
And the best part, you aren't renting. You actually own this view. That is the ultimate, I made it dream.
It is. It's the ultimate daydream. It is literally the finish line for so many people. But here's the thing about daydreams. They don't usually come with property taxes or, maintenance schedules.
Unfortunately not. They definitely leave out the plumbing disasters.
Exactly. And that is where people hit a wall. Because once you wake up and actually decide, okay, I have the capital, I want to make this happen, you realize that tropical paradise isn't just a single asset class. It is a massive, complex, global market. And if you don't know what you're doing, that dream can turn into a financial nightmare really fast.
That is exactly the gap we are bridging today. We are taking that emotional desire, that I want a villa feeling, and we are subjecting it to a forensic financial stress test.
A reality check, basically.
Exactly. We are orchestrating a heavyweight showdown between two of the biggest names in the game. In the red corner, we have the established titan of the West, the Caribbean, and in the blue corner, the challenger from the East, Phuket, Thailand.
And to referee this fight, we aren't just using, travel blogs or influencers who start there for a weekend. We are digging into a comprehensive comparative analysis provided by Ocean Worldwide.
And this is crucial context for everyone listening. When we say Ocean Worldwide, we aren't talking about some automated algorithm.
No, not at all. Ocean Worldwide is a luxury real estate agency that has been on the ground in Phuket since 2004.
Since 2004, that's huge. That's literally pre-iPhone.
It is. They have over two decades of transactional data. We are talking about insights backed by Sandra O'Neill, the director over there. She has spent over 20 years helping thousands of families and property investors navigate this specific market.
Wow, thousands.
Yeah. So when they compare Phuket to the Caribbean, they aren't guessing. This is boots on the ground data from people who actually manage these assets every single day.
Okay, so the mission is clear. We are looking past the pretty pictures. We are analyzing the hard numbers value, rental yields, legal headaches, and the real nitty-gritty of ownership. Strictly from an investment and lifestyle perspective, who wins the belt?
Let's get right into it.
Round one, segment one, the price of paradise. Or as I like to call it, what does my money actually get me?
This is where we see the first major divergence in the Ocean Worldwide report. They frame this as a battle between affordable luxury and established premium.
Affordable luxury? Almost sounds like an oxymoron these days.
It really does, doesn't it? But the data on Phuket is genuinely surprising. In most global markets, a luxury villa and, I mean, a private pool, a sea view, three or four bedrooms, modern architecture, that is a multi-million dollar asset, period.
Right. If I'm looking in Malibu or the south of France, forget about it. I'm priced out immediately.
Exactly. But the report highlights that in Phuket, specifically in prime areas like Kamala or Bangtao on the west coast, you can find a two-bedroom villa with a sea view starting around $350,000.
Wait, plus 350,000 for a villa with a sea view.
Yes!
That's wild.
And if you step up to the 600,000 to 900,000 range, you are looking at substantial three to four bedroom pool villas. Ocean Worldwide even points to a specific listing in Laon. It's a modern four-bedroom estate priced at 59 million Thai baht.
Which is what, in dollars?
Depending on the exchange rate, that is well under $2 million, usually closer to 1.6 or 1.7 million for a literal palace.
That is just crazy to think about. I mean, in some major cities, 350,000 barely gets you a parking spot these days. Or maybe a studio apartment that faces a brick wall.
Precisely. Now, take that exact same budget to the Caribbean, St. Barts, the BVI, Turks and Caicos.
I'm guessing my dollar shrinks pretty fast over there.
Oh, it evaporates. The Caribbean functions as an established brand. You are paying for the reputation.
Like a status symbol?
It's exactly like buying a designer handbag. The leather is nice, sure, but you are paying double just for the logo. In comparable Caribbean locations, entry-level homes often start at $800,000.
Starts at, and that's probably not even beachfront, right?
Oh, definitely not beachfront. If you want beachfront in the Caribbean, you are easily into the multi-millions. You are paying for the proximity to the US, the easy time zone, and that specific type of old world exclusivity.
So in Phuket, you are buying the house. In the Caribbean, you are buying the neighborhood.
That is a perfect way to put it. If you are looking strictly at purchasing power parity, what tangible asset you get for every dollar spent Phuket is landing some very heavy punches in this first round.
Okay, so buying the house is step one. But unless I'm retiring there tomorrow, I'm probably not going to live there 12 months a year. I need this thing to work for me. I need cash flow.
Right. You want the asset to pay for itself.
So let's move to segment two, the ROI deep dive. If I hand the keys to a rental manager, what am I actually getting back?
This is where the Ocean Worldwide data gets really interesting, specifically regarding rental yields. In Phuket, the stats are showing gross yields of 6 to 10%.
6 to 10% is very healthy. That beats the S&P 500 in some years.
It is very healthy. And the reason isn't just because the entry price is lower, it is all about the calendar.
The calendar. What do you mean?
Seasonality. Phuket benefits from year-round tourism. Sure, there is a high season during the dry months, but because it attracts visitors from Europe, Asia, Australia, and the Middle East, the flow of people is consistent. The report notes occupancy rates often hit over 60% on average because the low season isn't dead, it's just quieter.
Compare that to the Caribbean.
The Caribbean is much more of a feast or famine economy. Yields are generally lower, typically 4 to 8%. The culprit is the winter escape dynamic.
Because everyone wants to go when it's freezing in New York.
Exactly. You have a massive peak from mid-December to April. During those months, nightly rates are astronomical. You can charge an absolute fortune,
But then the cliff arrives.
the cliff arrives. The off-season in the Caribbean is deep. Occupancy plummets.
So you basically have to make 12 months of revenue in 4 months.
Pretty much. And if you have a bad season or a hurricane scare during that window, your entire year is ruined.
Speaking of scares, let's talk about the part of the report that actually made my jaw drop, the hidden costs. We always focus on how much money comes in, but we rarely talk about how much goes out to keep the building standing.
This is the most critical insight in this entire deep dive. It is the difference between gross yield and net yield. Ocean Worldwide provided a cost of ownership table that is honestly essential reading for any buyer.
Walk us through the biggest differences there.
Let's start with the weather. In the Caribbean, hurricane insurance isn't optional. It is essential. And it is expensive. Annual premiums can range from £2,500 to over £6,000, depending on the property value.
Just for insurance, that is a huge line item.
It is. But then consider general upkeep. Think about logistics. In the Caribbean, almost everything has to be imported. If your air conditioner compressor blows out in the British Virgin Islands, that part is coming on a boat or a plane. You pay for the part, the shipping, and the import duty.
And I assume labor isn't cheap either.
No, because the cost of living is high. Contrast that with Phuket. You have a local supply chain. Materials are available domestically. You have access to skilled labor gardeners, technicians, builders at a fraction of the cost.
So when you add it all up, taxes, insurance, maintenance, what is the bottom line difference?
Here is the knockout stat. In Phuket, the total estimated annual holding cost is between 3.5% and 7.5% of the property value. In the Caribbean, it is 6.5% to 14.5%.
Hold on, 14.5%.
Yes, just to hold the property.
That is massive. That basically means every 7 years you've rebought the house in maintenance cost alone.
It really changes the math. You could have a fantastic rental season in the Caribbean, make a ton of revenue, and then hand a huge chunk of it right back to the insurance company and the maintenance crew. That is why Ocean Worldwide emphasizes looking at the net yield.
Okay, so purely on numbers, cost to buy, cost to run, Phuket is looking like the rational choice. But money isn't everything. You have to actually get there and you have to want to be there. Let's talk about segment three, logistics and lifestyle.
Accessibility is a huge factor, and honestly, this depends entirely on where you are sitting right now.
If I'm in New York or Miami, the Caribbean is right there.
Exactly. The Caribbean has fantastic connectivity to North America. Direct flights, easy time zone changes. If you are a busy US executive,
Yeah.
that matters. But the Caribbean is an archipelago. Unless you are on a main hub island, you often have to deal with island hopping.
You mean the small planes and ferries?
Right. You fly into a major airport, then transfer to a propeller plane or a ferry to get to the specific island your villa is actually on. It's romantic the first time. It's really annoying the 10th time.
How does Phuket compare?
Phuket is an island, but it is connected to the mainland by a bridge and has its own massive international airport. It is a major hub. Direct flights from the Middle East all over Asia and huge chunks of Europe. You land, you grab your bag, you get in a car, and you are at your pool in 40 minutes.
And the infrastructure on the ground is different too, right? Ocean Worldwide mentioned something about wellness and hospitals.
This is a key differentiator. Phuket has developed into a very sophisticated destination. It's not just a beach town. They have international standard hospitals. Medical tourism is actually huge there. They have international schools, modern shopping malls, cinemas. It is an easy place to live.
Which implies a different kind of lifestyle.
It does. The Caribbean offers escapism. It's unhurried. It's
Yeah.
island time. It's about disconnection and privacy. If you want to disappear and drink rum punch on your veranda without seeing a single soul, the Caribbean is perfect.
Whereas Phuket sounds a bit more electric.
Electric is a great word for it. It's vibrant. You have the stunning beaches, Kata, Koran, but you also have bustling night markets, a culinary scene that goes from dollar street food to Michelin star fine dining and active nightlife. You can be a hermit in your villa if you want, or you can go out and have a highly cosmopolitan night on the town. You have options.
So, Caribbean for the recluse, Phuket for the social butterfly.
Broadly speaking, yes.
All right, we have covered price, we have covered lifestyle. Now we have to do the responsible thing. We need to talk about the scary part, legalities.
This is usually where people get cold feet. Buying property in your own country is stressful enough. Buying it abroad, in a different language, under different laws, that is daunting.
And the rules in Thailand specifically seem a bit complex. I always hear people say foreigners can't own land in Thailand. Is that true?
Technically, yes, but it's not the full story. And Ocean Worldwide's team clarifies this really well because they deal with it every single day. There are two main structures that investors have used safely for decades.
Okay, let's break them down. Simple terms.
Option one is leasehold. You buy the house, the bricks, the mortar, the pool. You own that physical building in your name, but the land underneath it, you lease it.
Like a long-term rental.
Yes, but extremely long term. Usually it is a 30-year lease with contractual options to renew for two additional 30-year periods. So effectively, you control the land for 90 years.
Okay, 90 years is a long time. I definitely won't be around to worry about year 91.
Exactly. It's a very secure form of tenure. Option two is for people who want more direct control. You set up a Thai company. A foreigner can own up to 49% of the company, and the company owns the land freehold.
But wait, if I only own 49%, am I not a minority shareholder? Don't I lose control?
That is the trick. The legal structure is meticulously set up so that your 49% carries the voting rights and control. It is standard practice, but it does require more paperwork and annual filing.
Is there any exception to this? Is there anything I can just own 100% of my own name?
Condominiums. That is the easiest route. Foreigners can own condos,
Yeah.
freehold 100% in your name, title deed in hand, as long as foreigners don't own more than 49% of the total floor space of the entire building.
Okay, that's clear. Now pivot to the Caribbean. Is it easier?
Generally, yes. The Caribbean is built heavily on Western legal frameworks. In most places, you pay the money, you get the title deed, it is freehold, you own the dirt.
Ooh, catch.
There are always catches. In some coastal areas, specifically looking toward Mexico, you have the fideicomiso, which is a bank trust system very similar to the Thai leasehold. And on some islands, you need an alien land holding license, which is basically a government permission slip that costs time and money. So it's not always as simple as writing a check.
So what is the golden rule here? Because I feel like I could easily mess this up in either location.
The golden rule, and this is something Ocean Worldwide emphasizes repeatedly in their advice, is to always get a local lawyer.
So do not just trust the agent.
Even though Ocean is an agent, they are telling you this. Do not rely just on the seller or the agent. Get independent legal counsel. It is non-negotiable. You need someone who knows the zoning, the latest government tweaks, and can absolutely ensure your title is clean.
Spend the money on the lawyer now so you don't spend it on a lawsuit later.
Exactly.
Okay, let's look forward. We've talked about the current state of things, but real estate is a long game. Segment five, future outlook. Where are these markets actually going?
If we look at the trends Ocean Worldwide is tracking, Phuket is evolving way beyond just sun and sand.
What does that mean practically?
It means diversification. We are seeing a massive rise in wellness tourism, detox centers, medical retreats, yoga hubs, and interestingly, infrastructure for digital nomads.
People moving their home office right to the beach.
Right. And because of this, the development style is changing. We are seeing a shift toward integrated developments. Think of places like Laguna Phuket. These are massive mixed-use communities. You have the villas, but you also have retail, restaurants, golf courses, and leisure facilities all inside the gates. It is becoming a place to live, not just visit.
That makes sense. It adds so much convenience. What about the Caribbean?
The Caribbean is focusing heavily on stability and sustainability. The trend there is eco-luxury. Solar-powered villas, sustainable building materials. They are very protective of their luxury brand status. They aren't trying to become a mass market hub. They want to remain the exclusive playground. So expect prices to remain high and regulations on development to stay incredibly strict to protect the environment.
So the Caribbean is doubling down on exclusivity, and Phuket is expanding into a holistic lifestyle hub.
That is a very fair assessment.
Okay, we have covered a lot of ground today. Let's bring it all home.
Mm.
If I'm sitting there with my checkbook, hypothetically, of course, how do we make the final call?
I think we can summarize the decision matrix like this. You choose Phuket if you are driven by value. If you want high rental yields, substantially lower annual holding costs, and a vibrant, diverse lifestyle where your dollar goes a very long way.
The head choice.
In many ways, yes. And you choose the Caribbean if you prioritize direct ownership, if you want that specific brand name prestige, and if proximity to the U.S. is a non-negotiable factor for you or your family.
The heart or maybe the ego choice.
A little bit of both. But look, regardless of which way you lean, you cannot do this blind. You need good data. And I want to remind our listeners that this deep dive was powered entirely by the insights from Ocean Worldwide.
Yes, and we have to give a nod to Sandra O'Neill and her team again. We mentioned at the top that they have been operating in Phuket since 2004. In a volatile market like international real estate, longevity is trust. They aren't a pop-up shop.
Absolutely. They specialize in those prime areas we discussed, Bangtao, Layin, Kamala. If you are intrigued by that under $1 million luxury villa concept, or you just want to see the cost of ownership tables for yourself, you really need to go to the source.
And you can do that by visiting oceanwwp.com. That is oceanwwp.com. Go look at the listings. Even if you aren't buying today, the window shopping is absolutely top tier.
It is incredibly dangerous for your productivity. I will warn you right now.
Truly. So here is the final thought I want to leave you with today. We talked about prestige versus value. We talked about island hopping versus direct flights. But when you are lying in bed at night, dreaming about that tropical escape, ask yourself this. Are you buying a villa for the prestige of the zip code so you can tell your friends you own in St. Bart's? Or are you buying it for the lifestyle you can actually afford to live and maintain every single day?
That is the million-dollar question, sometimes literally.
Thanks for diving deep with us today. We will catch you on the next one.